Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Judges, chapter 21, and there are 25 verses in this chapter. Let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless, to anoint this chapter and the commentary. Lord, we know that Your Word has the power to bring forth life if it's spoken and if it's explained, if it is the Spirit that's anointing it. But if there is no Spirit anointing it, it has the power to bring forth death. There are a lot of people that are offended with Your Word, Lord, and that's too bad, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, believe on the whole Word of God, because Jesus is the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And if you doubt any of the Word of God, you're doubting Jesus, and thou shalt be damned. So, Lord, we pray that people will believe all the words that are in this chapter, and that You'll anoint it, You'll open up our hearts, our souls, our spirits, our mind. Lord, that our brain will receive the brain of Christ, the mind of Christ, that our mind will become the same as the Lord's, that we'll think the same as You do, because we'll have Your same thoughts in our mind, derived from the Word of God. And we believe that if we do believe the whole Word of God, we shall be saved. And the Word of God tells husbands to love their wives. That means to make sure that they hear the Word. That doesn't mean, the world says that love is sex. But You said, Your Word tells us that love is the keeping of God's commandments, which involves a lot more than sex. Sex is given to a woman when it's due her, due benevolence. Because it seems today that most of the women in the world, that's all they think about is sex, instead of keeping their minds stayed upon You, Jesus, which is, again, the whole Word of God. They really don't believe in You hardly at all. They just don't think of all the Scriptures as being You. But I'd like to be the pastor that's telling everyone that You are the Word of God. It is written in Your Word that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That was, You were with God, and the Word was God, because You are one with God. You are God. You, the Word, are God. And then later it says in the first chapter of John that You would come to the earth as a man. The Word of God would come to the world as a man and dwell among us. Now, when it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't just mean say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus, the name of Jesus. But the name of Jesus, the Bible plainly states in the book of Revelation, is the entire Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, people don't want to receive that because they really don't love the Lord, the Word of God. The Bible says that we are saved by believing in Christ Jesus, the Word of God. If we don't believe in the whole Word of God, then we're not saved. You can't doubt God and get into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, if they believe, then they're saved. If they doubt, they're damned. Because if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. So you believe, disbelieve some of the Word of God, then you disbelieve the whole Word of God. So you can't believe in Jesus a little bit. And you can't believe that this whole life is... you can't believe that the whole Word of God is be fruitful and multiply and love your wife, unless you have the true meaning of love your wife, which means to teach her the whole Word of the Lord and make her obey the commandments, or instruct her to obey the whole commandments, all the Word of God, so that she can be saved. That's true love, is to get someone into the kingdom of heaven. But and so therefore women have to show that they believe their husbands who are preaching the true word of God by keeping the household, keeping their minds, taking care of the children, and taking care of their husband in the house. That's their whole duty. Now, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And a man of God, the Bible tells us that it's better if we don't marry, because a man that marries a woman cares about how he may please his wife. But a man that is not married cares about how he can please the Lord if he is not married. So women place themselves in too high of a category. I know some people in the church that their wives are telling them, you know, are you going to go back to that church because they didn't receive what I told them about how to save 440 million babies. It just really offended her that there should be a gospel that tries to prevent people from murdering their own children. This is a very wicked woman, and any man that would listen to her would have to be a biggest wimp and a disbeliever that is going. And then I was this literature that I've written also tells people how to not fornicate, because fornicators and people that murder their own children are all going to hell, because that's against God's commandments. And so it's obvious that this man's wife doesn't believe in the whole word of God, but she does believe in Satan and the Antichrist. And so she should never come to church anyway. She's just going there to attempt to try to take her husband out of the church. If her husband goes for it, well, you know, this church has been going now for 40 years without him, and it'll go another 40, I'm sure, as the time goes by without him. But we'd rather have him in the church, and we'd rather have her repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that she can be saved. So, Lord, anoint this chapter 21 of Judges, let it bring forth life, so that the people that are feeling these ways, they just feel that they should continue in murdering little unborn children and continue to let their children fornicate in church rather than marry, so that they won't be burned. Because you're going to, as this book is entitled, Judges, that you're going to judge such wicked people as that. And for the people in the church that don't witness and testify when they hear such things as this, like Sister Linda didn't even, she never witnesses to people. And I pray that she will, because the Bible commands us to be witnesses, not to be mannequins or dummies, to dummy up when people are saying wicked things. So there's a lot more that goes along with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, than just loving your wife and your wife's taking care of the house and the children. It's the whole Word of God. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. That's how we live. By living, by receiving and doing everything that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Don't make yourself something that you're not, females or you males out there or in the church. Humble yourself before the Lord and receive what the Spirit has to say to the churches in these last days, or else you shall spend eternity in a place that is so horrible that there are not words enough to describe it. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is so beautiful and wonderful that there are no words to describe the beauty of it, and how wonderful it is, and how fabulous it is, and how much sheer ecstasy. It's like an eternity of ecstasy. And it's just the reverse in the pit of hell. I urge everyone that hears this tape to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God be firmly embedded in you throughout every day, so that you can be sure that you're going to have the peace and tranquility of knowing that you're going to be standing before the Lord, and He's going to say to you, "Come in, my good and faithful servant," and that He's not going to say to you, "Depart from me, you wicked," and cast you into the lake of fire. So, Father, we ask that all these things are accomplished in your precious name. We pray that this will be in the name, the mighty name of Jesus, and all the saints shout, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go.
Israel provides
life. Okay, it's Judges chapter chapter 21, verse 1, King James Version.
Israel provides wives for Benjamin. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife."
Okay, now they slaughtered all the men, and they made a vow that they were not going to restore the tribe of Benjamin. All the men are dead now because they slaughtered them, because they approved that homosexuals and these wicked men could rape a virgin daughter of the man, and then also the concubine of the Levite. And so they went to destroy, they stood up for these reprobate homosexuals, and so the true people of Israel, the ones that believed in God, went in there and slaughtered them as God commands, because they say that it's not fitting for a homosexual to live. And of course, nobody's going to do anything to them in this world, because the satanic Antichrist government defends them. They don't punish them for homosexuality, but they punish people in the world from being married. Because in the Bible, God's word, this word that proceeds from the mouth, says that this is doctrines of devils, those that say you shouldn't get married. And the true time for marriage is at puberty, and a lot of females are virgins at 12 years old, and they reach puberty at that time, and that's when the Lord says that they're supposed to marry. And this wicked Antichrist government said that they should wait until they're 18. Well, by that time, with all the pornography going on in the world, they're already whores, and the men are pimps. The young boys are pimps. And they're even got songs now bragging about being pimps. Some black group that sings, "Because I'm a bump, bump, P-I-M-P." And, man, you know, it's gotten to the point where people are bragging about being whores and pimps. And the mothers and fathers in this world are raising their children to be a bunch of whores and pimps, because they let them watch pornography, and they condone this free sex, which God condemns and says He'll send their souls to hell for it. He allows them to do that in schools, and then He allows the parents allow them to go to these abortion, what they call clinics, which I call slaughterhouses. First-degree murder slaughterhouses, and they allow their children to go murder their own children. So this is what happened over here, is they allowed these reprobates to just go out and do whatever they pleased with these two women. And now Israel got uptight at them because they wanted to keep the commandments of the Lord and take all the curses, take the curses away from Israel because of this evil deed that they had done. People don't realize that this whole world is cursed right now, and that's why you see that tsunami, and there's going to be a lot more tsunamis that are going to make that one look like a Sunday school picnic. And so now they killed all these men over there, and now they said they made a vow that they're not going to rebuild the population of Benjamin. And so what are they going to do? All these women are going to die. and they're not going to have any children anymore. That'll be the end of the tribe of Benjamin. So they're trying to scratch their heads and trying to figure out, man, I don't know if the Lord's going to like this or not. There's supposed to be 12 tribes of Israel. And what do we do? And that's what this chapter's all about. Okay, so let's continue on.
Verse 2.
I thought I'd give you a little review there. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God and lifted up their voices and wept sore.
Because they made that vow. Okay, next verse.
Verse 3. And said, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?
Yeah, that there's no more the tribe of Benjamin. Boo-hoo. We should have more reprobates again. No. The people that defend reprobates like they do today. This whole, the people are so deceived that they're actually defending abortion, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, and first-degree murder, and everything else under the sun. And they say they want, now they're fighting to put a sign up saying, In God We Trust. You bunch of phonies, you don't trust in God. If you did, you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You're a bunch of people calling yourselves Christians. You're no more saved than the devil is. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. I want you to know who's saying this. All right, then what?
Verse 4. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Verse 5. And the children of Israel said, Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, He shall surely be put to death. Verse 6. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, There is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. Verse 7.
Yeah, they're cut off because there's no more men. Okay, so we're going to have a Sadie Hopkins day here. Okay? Then what else? That's in Dog Patch, USA here. We're in Arkansas here. We all know about old Dog Patch, right? Where all the hillbillies are up there wearing their logger boots. They blow the whistle on Sadie Hopkins days, and these fee mayors that don't want the certain men, they got to run fast in order to get away from them. And then what else? Because, but if those ugly-looking dudes can outrun you, you've had it. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7, How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? Verse 8, And they said, What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. Verse 9, For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. Verse 10, And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children.
Kill them all. Why? Because they've been trained to be the same way they were, and there's no point in allowing them to live according to the Lord. The Lord's not going to let homosexuals into the kingdom of heaven. He's not going to let murderers, first-degree murderers, abortionists into heaven. He's not going to let fornicators in. No fornicator, no adulterer, no effeminate, no homosexual is going to get in. Okay, no liar, no thief. You can't get into heaven. So you have to repent. Thus saith every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. And that's the only way you can live eternally, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, the whole word of God. Then what?
Verse 11, And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man.
What verse is that?
11.
Okay.
Translation, verses 1 through 11.
So it just says, every woman that has had sexual relationships with a man, the virgins you can keep alive because they're not ruined yet. When a woman, usually she has sex with a man and she's married to him for any length of time, she's just going to take on his same spirit and just do whatever he says, no matter how evil or wicked he is. They just become as wicked as their husbands. The same thing with their kids. Not in all cases, but that's what happened back then. Now then.
Israel provides wives for Benjamin, verse 1. The Israelites had vowed at Mizpah never to give their daughters in marriage to a man from the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. And the people went to Bethel and sat in the presence of God until evening, raising their voices and weeping bitterly. Verse 3. Quote, O Lord God of Israel, unquote, they cried out. Quote, why has this happened? Now one of our tribes is missing, exclamation mark. Verse 4. Early the next morning, the people built an altar and presented their burnt offerings and peace offerings on it. Verse 5. Then they said, quote, was any tribe of Israel not represented when we held our council in the presence of the Lord at Mizpah? At that time, they had taken a solemn oath in the Lord's presence, vowing that anyone who refused to come must die. Verse 6. The Israelites felt deep sadness for Benjamin and said, quote, today we have lost one of the tribes from our family. It is nearly wiped out. Verse 7. How can we find wives for the few who remain, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them our daughters in marriage? Verse 8. So they asked, quote, was anyone absent when we presented ourselves to the Lord at Mizpah? And they discovered that no one from Jabesh-Gilead had attended. Verse 9. For after they counted all the people, no one from Jabesh-Gilead was present. Verse 10. So they sent 12,000 warriors to Jabesh-Gilead with orders to kill everyone there, including women and children. Verse 11. Quote, this is what you are to do, they said. Completely destroy all the males and every woman who is not a virgin.
So the virgins get to stay alive. Then what?
King James Version, verse 12.
That would void out just about every female in the United States of America, ranging from the age of, if they're going to public schools, probably from the age of, some of them from 8 and 9 years old on up. Okay, certainly before they're 18 years old, like the government, this, satanic doctrine of devil government makes them not marry until they're 18, even though they've reached puberty maybe 5-6 years before and 7 years before. Okay, so God condemns this one world government, and I do also, and everyone that's going to stand with the Lord will also condemn it. There's no point in me voting for anyone that believes in this new, which is really old, satanic system of world government. There's no point in voting for him because I will not vote for the devil. Okay, I want to go to heaven. I'm going to believe what the Lord says. There's no profit in believing anything other than that. Amen?
Amen.
Will believing in the world government get you to heaven?
No,
it'll get you right in square into hell. So, you know, Bush tries to make himself look real holy and everything while he's murdering people. Clinton did the same thing and boasts that he's the president, killed more people than anybody else. And he says he's a Christian. That man is one of the biggest phonies that ever breathed a breath. Okay, go keep going.
King James Version, verse 12. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Verse 13, and the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. Verse 14, and Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. Verse 15, and the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Verse 16, then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? Verse 17, and they said, there must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Verse 18, howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Verse 19, then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Labona.
Like a picnic. And then what else?
Verse 20, therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. Verse 21, and see and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.
See, that sounds like Sadie Hawkins Day out here in the Ozarks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's read translation now.
Translation verses 12 through 21.
Got to catch them. Is that what?
Verse 12. Among the residents of Jabesh-Gilead, they found 400 young virgins who had never slept with a man, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. Verse 13. The Israelite assembly sent a peace delegation to the little remnant of Benjamin who were living at the rock of Rimmon. Verse 14. Then the men of Benjamin returned to their homes, and the 400 women of Jabesh-Gilead who were spared were given to them as wives, but there were not enough women for all of them. Verse 15, the people felt sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had left this gap in the tribes of Israel. Verse 16, so the Israelite leaders asked, quote, how can we find wives for the few that remain, since all the women of the tribe of Benjamin are dead?
See, it's important to have men and women. I believe in mixed marriages. Men and women will always be favored in the eyes of God. Amen. But all of them would be exterminated if everyone believed the way that the satanic one world government believes, that, you know, homosexuals should be with homosexuals, because it takes a man and a woman to be able to foster children. Amen.
Amen.
Can you see one faggot chasing another one and capturing them, or a lesbian capturing a lesbian? How nauseating. Okay, I'd just like to contrast things a little bit here. Okay, then what else?
Verse 17. There must be heirs for the survivors, so that an entire tribe of Israel will not be lost forever. Verse 18. But we cannot give them our own daughters in marriage, because we have sworn with a solemn oath that anyone who does this will fall under God's curse. Verse 19. Then they thought of an annual festival of the Lord held in Shiloh between Labona and Bethel along the east side of the road that goes from Bethel to Shechem.
They're going to come out dancing. Okay, then what? Go ahead.
Verse 20. They told the men of Benjamin who still needed wives, quote, go and hide in the vineyards. Verse 21. When the women of Shiloh come out for their dances, rush out from the vineyards, and each of you can take one of them home to be your wife! Exclamation mark.
Well, they got to wait till they're a dancing. Okay, when the fiddles start playing. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 22. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes. because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war. For ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty.
No, they just took them. He didn't give them, so just if they took them, then it's not, he didn't break the vow. And then what? But the weasels didn't realize that they were instructing them to take them. Okay, then what else?
Verse 23. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught. And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the
caught
city.
Caught, they must have been running. If I catch you, I'm going to marry you. Okay, then what?
And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them. Verse 24. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. Verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Right. That goes to show, you know, that's supposed to be right in their own eyes. But now we have the whole Word of God, and we know better than that. Amen?
Amen.
You can't just go out there and catch whoever you want. Okay, there has to be a mutual understanding between each other, and it has to be of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You can't just get married to some person that doesn't really believe in the Lord. And it takes some consideration, for sure. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Translation, verses 22 through 25. And when their fathers and brothers come to us in protest, we will tell them, quote, please be understanding. Let them have your daughters, for we didn't find enough wives for them when we destroyed Jabesh-Gilead. And you are not guilty of breaking the vow, since you did not give your daughters in marriage to them. Verse 23. So the men of Benjamin did as they were told. They kidnapped the women who took part in the celebration.
Kidnapped. That's right. Mm-hmm. Kidnapped. That's what it was. They caught them and took them. And then what else?
And carried them off to the land of their own inheritance.
And carried them all. Yeah, to me that sounds like rape. Well, anyway, what else?
Then they rebuilt their towns and lived in them. Verse 24. So the assembly of Israel departed by tribes and families, and they returned to their own homes. Verse 25. In those days Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes.
Right, but this is the 21st century, and we have the New Testament now. We have the power of God. And, you know, sometimes God doesn't even want certain people to be married. And sometimes he wants people to be married when they reach puberty. And that's like, for women, it's 12 years old. And he doesn't want men getting married at all until they reach at least 30 years old. Because they're not capable of supporting their wives. If they have an inheritance, they got lots of money and everything, that's a different story. It all depends on the circumstances. But I know that I wasn't ready for marriage until I was 30. And by that time, I had already been married a couple of times and had several children. And I just wasn't a good father. I wasn't a good husband either. And at 30 years old is when the Lord gave me Sue. And I was a good husband. I was capable because he gave me an anointing to be married. Now listen, we have some commentary right now for the 21st chapter of Judges.
Chapter 21, verses 1-25. The Israelites removed the blood guiltiness from their midst by punishing the men of Gibeah through the deaths of the Benjamites. Chapter 20, verses 13-35. They grieved for Benjamin when they realized that the tribe of Benjamin was almost extinct. Only 600 males survived. The 11 tribes, therefore, cunningly devised two schemes by which they could acquire wives for the survivors.
Right, but we're not to walk by cunningly devised fables. we're to walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That means Sadie Hawkins Day is being eliminated. You draw a circle around it and put a line right through it. No Sadie Hopkins Day anymore. All right? Then what?
The 11 tribes therefore cunningly devised two schemes by which they could acquire wives for the survivors without violating their vow not to give them their daughters. The Benjamites acquired 400 young virgins from Jabesh Gilead, verses 7 through 14, and 200 daughters of Shiloh, verses 16 through 23. Chapter 21, verse 8. Jabesh Gilead was located in the Transjordanian about 9 miles southeast of Bethshan. Verse 13. Announced peace to them. This offer of peace represents a covenantal restoration between the rebellious Benjamites and the other tribes. Verse 19. Feast of the Lord in Shiloh. This was a local harvest festival in Shiloh, which was north of Bethel. Labona was the site about 3 miles north of Shiloh. Verse 21. Catch a wife. The people of Israel realized that although they had vowed not to give their daughters to the Benjamites could seize wives for themselves and not cause the vow to be violated. Verse 25.
But you know, there's a law that if you kidnap somebody, it's even in the Bible, that that's a sentence of death. But so they just, like it says, there's no king there, did whatever they pleased, made up their own rules. Okay, then what?
Verse 25. The book of Judges concludes with restatement of the apostate condition of Israel when they had no king. Chapter 17, verse 6. Guidelines for growing in godliness. Judges emphasizes the necessity of trusting God's presence and divine resources in His guidance rather than our own. Even those talents and abilities we have from birth are corrupted by sin and must be energized by the Holy Spirit to bear fruit for God. The keys to wise living. Wisdom is knowing how to apply what you know to be true. So we need to have fear to have wisdom, because the fear of the Lord is wisdom and the beginning of wisdom as well. Therefore, wisdom demands that you ascertain the Lord's direction and leadings for your life. Also, Judges warns against assuming that all leadings are true. Self-righteousness and religious sentiment can be a source of serious deception. Steps to dealing with sin. Sin presents a constant struggle with people that are not walking in the Spirit. And if we don't walk in the Spirit, we are definitely going downhill. When we resist sin, a lot of times we feel that the battle is over, only to be tempted by the same sin again and again. The temptations never go away. That's why we have to have on the full armor of God, so that we can constantly...
Yeah, I would add the full armor of God daily, because you may have won the battle, the victory over temptation yesterday, but then it comes again, and today you figure it's all right. So it has to be a daily walking in the Spirit. Then what?
That's why we have to have on the full armor of God daily, so that we can constantly be on guard against sin. Some people believe that even when they do sin, that they can still live with that type of sin regularly. And a lot of people teach that God always gives somebody another chance to turn from sin and back to Him.
Yeah, but that isn't true. So, right? I should have added that. Then what else?
Be careful with those kind of teachings. The Lord demands protection and demands us to be without spot or blemish.
Because there's nothing that has even one sin on it that's going to enter the kingdom of God. Not one sin shall enter the kingdom of God. Then what?
Lessons for leaders. Good leadership is the key to the triumph of God's purposes. Judges underlines the need for godly leaders who speak with prophetic anointed voices. When there is a lack of such leadership among God's people, the people lead unrestrained lives, guided by their own opinions and feelings, rather than by God's Holy Spirit, God's Word, godly wisdom.
Sure, because Satan will urge you to do something, and he'll urge you very strongly. But the scriptures have to be so embedded in you that they urge you against what the devil is urging you to do. Go ahead.
Key lessons in faith. Faith sees beyond trials and abstains from sin and is able to go through any obstacle, knowing that God is sovereign over such and uses them to shape us and strengthen us for future battles. Faith also relies and rests on an everlasting present God to bring the necessary answer and supply the present need. And that only happens when we're walking in the Spirit. Now believe that God strengthens those he calls and commissions. Trust in the promise of his abiding presence. Heed God's warnings. Do not continue to rely upon your fleshly wisdom and ability, lest God limit you to those resources rather than releasing his wisdom, his power, and gifts through you.
Right, and never rely on the urging of the devil. If you feel an urging to do something that the Bible condemns, you know that's the devil. Okay, at least you should know that's the devil. And don't do it. Turn away, get something, think about something else, get the Bible on your mind and the Lord, and go to the scripture that you know tells you to do the exact opposite. Flee from the very appearance of evil. Amen?
Amen.
And the very thought of it. And pull down every evil thought and make it subject to the Word of God. Why? Because so that your soul won't be blemished. Because you know if it is and you die, you won't be in heaven. You'll be in hell, in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
That's chapter 10, verses 13 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 6, verses 36 through 40. Test and confirm any sense of divine leading. Refuse to move impulsively. Be certain of God's direction. It results in greater confidence. Chapter 17, verse 3.
You'll be proud of yourself that you did. That after the temptation, you destroy it. You'll be extremely proud of yourself that you've had the victory through the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Be proud of being... It's more gratifying to be proud of destroying, having the victory over Satan, over destroying his temptations by fleeing from the very appearance of it or the thought of it, than to be, to do what this voice tells you, or this spirit, and then feel condemned all the rest of the day. It's better to have the victorious feeling. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord has already provided the victory for us in the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives us victory. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't be so afraid of your mousy flesh that somebody's going to say something bad about you because you're preaching the truth. Be proud of the truth and be not ashamed of the Bible, the Word of God, which is Christ. Don't be ashamed of Christ to preach the whole word. Otherwise, the Lord will be ashamed of you in the presence of all the holy angels. All right? You understand?
Yes.
Okay, now that you understand, well, then you should do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Chapter 17, verse 3. Know that God rejects any idolatry, regardless how religious or sincere one's sentiment may be.
Right, and anything other than God is your idol. If you put a man or a woman or a thing or food or sex or any kind of pornography or anything ahead of the Lord, then that's your idol. Okay, it doesn't have to be something made out of stone. It's the same as stone, though, because it's not going to do you any good. Will pornography do you any good?
No.
Will a man that's not of the Lord?
No.
Or a woman that's not of the Lord.
No.
So don't grieve if you lose something like that. Be happy. Okay? It's better that you find out now that when you're young than to grow old with somebody like that than to have them give you, so to speak, the shaft when you're so old that you can't find another mate. Then you're left hanging like Tom Dooley. Okay, then what else?
Be wary of religious deception.
Right, because there's so much false doctrine. Then what else?
Chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Understand that sins that are not dealt with radically and ruthlessly ultimately will cause a person's soul to spend eternity in hell.
In the lake of fire. Right, the righteous are violent against these things and pull them out of the way. And they take it by force and violence. They take the kingdom of heaven. They kick anything that's ungodly out of the way, and they keep marching as Christian soldiers onward, as those who went were before us, like Joshua. We have to be like a whole army of Joshuas. Amen?
Amen.
A whole army of Apostle Pauls. You can do it. The Spirit of God gives you the power to do it. He's already provided that victory for us. Just as he has salvation, healing, and victory over the devil in your flesh, sin, Satan, the world, flesh, death, hell, and the grave. Then what?
We have to confess our sins to the Lord and our faults one to another. Yeah. If we don't do this confessing, it will cause our downfall. Everything will go downhill.
Amen.
Chapter 14, verse 17. Persist for victory in your struggle against
that downhill business. I got from John Phillips. He was telling me about something, and I told him, "You told me that walk-in cooler and refrigerator was less than what you're telling me now." And he says, "It seems like this conversation is going downhill." I said, "Yes, sir, it does. We might as well end it right now before we go any further." Okay, go ahead. So your soul will go downhill if you don't listen to what God says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else? So I like that term, going downhill. John Phillips scored one with me. Okay, what else?
Chapter 14, verse 17. Persist for victory in your struggle against sin. Chapter 16, verses...
Well, we have the victory, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to fight for it. It's there already if you'll just turn away from it, amen, from sin and temptation. Just turn it away. Why? Because the feeling of victory is far more wonderful. I mean, this is wonderful, and the other, for being defeated, is no good. If somebody whacks you down to the earth, that's not a good feeling. But if you whack somebody down to the earth, then that's a good feeling. If they're trying to kill you and you whack them down to the earth, amen?
Amen.
Well, if you whack the devil down to the earth, you're going to get a better feeling than if you let him whack you down to the earth.
Chapter 16, verses 4 through 22. Guard against the seductions of the world and the flesh. Understand that compromise will eventually weaken and wear you out, giving the evil one an occasion to overpower you.
You can't compromise. When you compromise, you're giving place to the devil. He's knocked you down to the earth. And that's not a good feeling, because you're going to be miserable all day, all week, and maybe he'll knock you down to the earth to the point where you'll never be able to get back up again, because God won't give you the power to come back up again. So stay strong. Amen?
Amen.
Be strong. Be courageous. Okay? Be bold. Fight the devil. You've got the double-edged sword. And I pass that mantle on to you. He's given me the sword, and the sword belongs to you as well as it does me. So use it, okay? You've got knives, forks, and spoons. You know how to use them at the table. Now use the dagger against Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Repent quickly when overcome by the kind of sins that are sins of ignorance. Immediately get on that. Be confident that God is faithful to honor all truly heartfelt repentance if it is sins of ignorance.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. Know that a lack of godly leadership will cause God's people to become worldly and incur God's judgment. Strive to become godly in your leadership. You must be godly in leadership or you will be taken out of the way. Chapter 17, verse 6, 18, verse 1.
Yeah, this is to all those in authority. I'm preaching to them. You start laxing up on authority and strong leadership and you'll be taken, God will take you out of the way. You're not a leader then. You have to lead according to God's word. Then what?
Chapter 19, verse 1 and 22, verse 25. We are told to pursue a prophetic dimension in our ministry. Steps in developing humility. Judges stresses that humility is acknowledging that any good or righteous acts we accomplish result from God's working through us. We often think of humility as a weak self-abasement, when in fact it is a bold confidence in a faithful God.
In power, strength. Okay, then what else?
It's Judges chapter 8, verse 27, and chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Understand that God's spiritual victory does not depend upon natural strength or ability. Rely totally on God, His ablement, and His strength. Refuse to build any monuments to your success or victories. Know that they will likely become an occasion of stumbling for yourself and others. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 12. In the heat of anger or strong emotions, many people needing recovery or moving through a recovery process make rash and unrealistic vows. Here the Israelites were forced to keep their vows because they were made publicly and before God. They had not learned from Jephthah's tragic mistake of making a thoughtless vow. Chapter 11, verses 30 through 31.
Well, where he vowed to kill the first thing that came to meet him after the victory. And it was his daughter. So they didn't learn from that. To make foolish vows is very terrible, very awful. Okay, then what else?
In verses 34 through 39.
Because you have to keep vows with the Lord. It's better not to make a vow with him than to make a vow and not keep it. Okay, then what else?
This reveals a great lack of wisdom and self-control. Promises are made to be kept. We should not make promises that we will regret or refuse to carry out later. Here is some insight from the life of Gideon. There are frequently background issues, such as the way people view themselves or their family status, involved in becoming mature. Gideon's response to God in Judges 6, verses 15 through 16, and his fear and hesitation later were likely related to feelings of inadequacy. God offered his power because of Gideon's commitment to him as the means of dealing decisively with such issues. A troubled past or low family status may seem like a good excuse for doing nothing and hiding in comfortable, though not detrimental, situations. But God says that he will be with us to help us carry out whatever task we have been assigned to.
Yeah, we're living here in comfort, you know, and the city council and everybody's happy with us now. Then the Lord told me to throw a big rock in the water and make waves with this new literature that I have entitled Legally Married at 12 or Legally Married at Puberty. It's just making all kinds of waves, and people that are comfortable, that have been comfortable and got all kinds of friends and all kinds of souls in the church now are saying, but those souls that we got, they're going to lose them because you're preaching the Word of God. Don't preach that part of the Word. Hate that part of the world like I do, because they're going to be offended. Well, let me tell you something, brother or sister. If they're offended at any of the Word of God, then let them get away, because we want to know, who's of the Lord and who's not of the Lord. All those that are of the Lord, come over here on my side. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
All we need to do is trust in the Lord, which means to walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In Judges chapter...
Which means the Word. The words I speak unto you are Spirit in their life. So you've got to walk in the Spirit, the Word. Walk in the Word. Because that's how to have eternal life. Is to believe on the Word of God and thou shalt be saved. The whole Word of God. Remember, the whole Word of God is Jesus. Okay, then what?
In Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 7... Gideon's forces were already outnumbered by the enemy, but God limited their numbers even more.
To 300. Then what?
In the end, only 300 men would go to fight the Midianites.
Mm-hmm.
From a human standpoint, this put Israel at an impossible disadvantage. But God had limited their numbers for a reason. He wanted to show Israel that his power was the one that was going to do it, that his power was the only sufficient power, no matter what the odds were.
The number of people that really believe in the Word of God, I mean the whole Word of God today, are probably even less than that, than 300. Otherwise, where are the people preaching what I'm preaching? Huh? They're Casper Milktoast milksops. Floppy. Then what? They're disgusting. Then what?
Undoubtedly, Gideon became nervous as his army began to dwindle before his very eyes. But instead of walking out on God, he proceeded with an even stronger commitment to God's plan. It is amazing how much can be accomplished with fewer resources and a stronger commitment to God's will.
But one person shall chase a thousand. Amen?
Amen.
And two of us, it just keeps multiplying, 10,000. And three of us would be 100,000. Amen?
Amen.
Four of us would be 100,000. Five of us would be 1,000,000. Six of us would be 100,000,000. Seven of us would be 1,000,000,000. And eight of us would be about eight billion. There's only 6 billion on earth here. So just all I need is just seven more men like myself or Vimmons, and we will chase the whole world right into a corner. Right? You have to have vengeance in your heart for the Lord of God. You have to avenge him. His word is being crucified by these false teachers and these gutless preachers. Gutless. Wicked, evil, like they're more concerned about their stinky, ugly-looking flesh. Some of these people that are so afraid to speak out look like huge toads, like Reverend Jerry Falwell. Come on, let's see you speak up, toad. Come on now. Yeah. Come on now. All right, then what?
When we turn our life over to God each day, he can do more with us than with thousands of uncommitted soldiers.
That's for sure. Falwell didn't have sex with his mother in an outhouse, like Larry Flint said, but he is not speaking out like this, okay, and I want this fat man to get busy preaching the word, and all the rest of you fat and skinny ones out there. Well, they say, well, you're fat too, Tony. No, I'm not. This is all muscle, man. Okay, then what else?
The miraculous victory recorded in Judges 7, 8 through 23 illustrates some of the resources available to us in becoming mature in faith. Certainly the person seeking maturity in faith needs to know that it is possible to overcome great odds with God's power. Perhaps equally important is the realization that the oppressor or abuser in many situations would prove to be self-destructive. The abusive cycle, which may have seemed impossible to break, may actually be surprisingly fragile as we face it with God's power, God's help. Insight from Jephthah's life. When we often suffer ridicule because of our family background and other factors that are completely beyond our control, as we see in Judges chapters 1 through 11, Jephthah apparently possessed considerable courage and natural leadership ability, but he was sensitive to having been rejected.
Right, he was rejected because the mother was a whore. Okay, but this right here shows that no matter what your mother was, if you are of the Lord, then you're of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord doesn't punish people because of what your mom and dad are. Your mom could have been a whore, and your dad a truck driver, or a pimp. And still, if you're of the Lord, all that doesn't mean anything. You're a different creature than they are. Okay, what else?
He sought to secure his position in Gilead even before the battle with the Ammonites. While Jephthah seemed confident in his ability as God's instrument to bring about freedom, he apparently still needed to forgive the people of Gilead and gain a more balanced self-understanding. Like Jephthah, we may have been taunted by others because of our family background or other problems beyond our control. We, too, need to forgive these people, put those events behind us, and then move on to the task to which God has called us. Insight to Samson's life. In Judges 13, verses 15 through 23, the interaction between Samson's parents and the angel demonstrates their balanced sense of self-esteem. They had been called for the high purpose of raising a child uniquely gifted to serve God. They also had been allowed to live, even though they had looked upon God.
This is an overview of the book of Judges, right? Because we're going into the book of Ruth here. I think it's Ruth, right? And then what else?
Their giving of sacrifices indicated their proper sense of faith, humility, and thanksgiving before God. Likewise, we may be called to do special things for God or His people. We should remember that we are serving God and that He is allowing us to do these things. He called us to do these things. Knowing this should temper any exaggerated sense of self-worth we may be tempted to feel. As we see in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 through 9, even early in life, Samson was insensitive to the vows that define his relationship with God. Samson's Nazarite vow forbade his contact with anything dead. See Numbers chapter 6. But Samson killed a lion and then revisited the carcass. It was indeed the Spirit of the Lord that strengthened him, but Samson was very capable of abusing his God-given ability. There is very little evidence of commitment to God at this point in Samson's life. Having been raised as a, quote, special child, unquote, he was self-centered. This sinful self-obsession was the ruin of Samson, as it is the ruin of too many people today. As evidenced in Judges chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, Samson was the most contradictory of Israel's judges. Called to be a Nazarite, he did some things that a lot of people think were wrong. A lot of people say that he should have kept himself separate from the Philistines, but the Bible says that it was of the Lord that he got involved with the Philistine women. See Numbers 6. If it were not of the Lord would not be pouring his power upon him to have the strength that he did. Many people are given different duties to do from God. The special people of the Lord, God uses to perform extreme actions. A lot of people accuse Samson of being full of angry vengeance. The Lord called him to destroy the Philistines. The people who say
so. If the Lord tells you to, told them to destroy those people and they did it, then you. These fake preachers today that are wicked to the core are saying that Samson was bad because he obeyed God. You know, these people are, they had a, no wonder God prepared hell for them. No wonder God, they make everybody in the Bible horrible but themselves. Okay, the thing Samson did was he was stupid. Right? That there's no denying, but he did what the Lord was telling him to do, and he did some of the things he did wrong, yes, that's true, but he didn't have women problems, he wasn't filled with lust, and he lacked patience, and he just was whipped by that woman, you know, to just do anything she said. Should have taken him, her over his knee and spanked her real hard, too. Tell her to shut her face. Quit asking so many questions. Okay, because I'm not going to answer you anyway. And if you leave, good. Get out of here. I'll find someone that won't ask so many questions and drive me crazy with your ionic pentameter. Okay, then what else?
The people who say such things are not reading the Bible correctly. Theological seminaries say a lot of bad things about Samson, but the thing that he really did that was wrong was trusted the secrets of the Lord to these whorish women. He wasn't able to take their nagging, and he should have known better. Samson was a loner primarily. A lot of people say that he lived a lonely existence for periods of his life, but he had the Lord, and I don't believe he was lonely. A lot of theologians from theological seminaries say that he was far from idea, but why was it that God still used him to begin?
Far from idea, that's a typo. Far from an ideal person of God. Okay, then what?
But then, why was it that God still used him to begin the conquest of the neighboring Philistines, a task that would be finished much later by the psalmist King David? Unless we face and deal with our maturity to faith issues, they will continue to emerge throughout our lives. Samson's weakness to not put up with the nagging of these foreign women reasserted itself in Judges 16, verses 1 through 3. Samson was a judge of Israel, a position of great respect and responsibility, and these theologians say he exposed himself to shame and to danger. I believe he was led by the Lord, with the exception that he should have kept his mouth shut with these females.
And because he was stupid and did tell everything, yes, it did bring shame and his destruction. Yes, it did. Okay? That was... So it's a sin to not be led by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You have to take power and dominion over women. Now, the women livers, they hate me for this ever since I told them that I thought that every woman before I was saved was a house pig. You know, you need one for a house pig to have around the house to wash your clothes and take care of the house. And then I said later that Susie made me a house pig because she was had the wisdom of God. She was, but I was the boss of the house because I could use whatever soap I wanted to wash the dishes. Okay. Then what?
So by doing that, he sinned, because the Lord tells us to keep these things unto ourselves by giving to the prostitute in Gaza his secrets. Again, his strength and courage rescued him because he was of the Lord. But as we see later, Samson mistakenly believed that he could handle his weaknesses on his own. None of us can fight our dependencies alone. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. We may get by for a while, even racking up some impressive victories, but eventually we will fall prey to temptation if we start trusting in our own strength. We need to lean completely upon God, and we also need other people of the Lord for our support.
Yeah, take heed, the Bible says, when you think you stand, you fall. That's what the Israelites did when they had a great victory. Then the devil sent in a bunch of prostitutes, and they sinned greatly there, and a whole bunch of them were wiped out. Here, right after a major victory, they should have thrown those prostitutes out of the camp. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It's really a sad thing that a person who needs to be walking in the Spirit finally hits bottom. For years, Samson had steered around potential disasters caused by his extreme behavior. The theological seminaries state in that he shouldn't have been angry, but I say he should because the Bible says so. In Judges chapter 16, verses 18 through 21, Delilah used her knowledge about Samson to destroy him. That is where his weakness was. That was the flaw in his life. Before that, he was forced to admit his helplessness as a tortured Philistine slave. He had deserted God by his actions, and God's strength had left him. We don't need to hit bottom. We can face and defeat our problems before anything catastrophic happens to us, since we're admitting our weaknesses before God and seeking him for his power. Power and truth came with Jesus. That's all we need is Jesus. Insight from the tribe of Dan. In Judges 18, verses 1 and 2, the tribe of Dan was looking for the easy way out. This kind of behavior is typical of people in need of recovery. The Danites had long been unable to evict the Amorites from the land allotted to them under Joshua.
It's the same thing, like the Christians don't want to come out effectively, like I am, about this legally married at 12 issue because they don't want to offend the people that don't want their daughters married at that age. If a person doesn't want their daughter married at that age, that's fine. If they want to let them become a whore, or their son to become a pimp, or to run away and have sex and then have abortion, that's their own business. But I'm just saying it's better that if they want to get married and there's somebody that has the amount of money to take care of them, let them get married so that they won't commit fornication and first-degree murder and then wind up in hell. And that's what the Bible tells them to do. That's why God made people reach puberty, the ability to have children, at that age. And when the government, the Antichrist government, says that they can't get married until they're 18, they're out there whoring around and pimping around and having sex and having babies and committing murder, and they're sinners. And now, because the government is run by a bunch of sinners, they want everybody to be sinners too, and nobody to be around that'll condemn them. And they don't want the word of God around. That's why they don't even want to mention the word God. It's a sin now, according to this bunch of devils, to even mention the word of God. And people are being thrown in prison for that. People are being thrown in prison because they say they want the emblem "In God We Trust" off the currency and out of the public places. Well, that I think should be, because this country does not believe in God. They don't trust in God at all, as I said earlier on this tape. And so, and they want to get off the hook with this abortion. They don't speak out against it. They don't speak out against fornication, just like the Benjamites didn't speak up against these homosexuals. And now the Christians are not really in an effective way coming out against these homosexuals. They're afraid that they're going to come and throw beer bottles and Coke bottles on their front lawn and stuff. Let them come over here and try that. Okay? I don't take stuff like that. Come over and try to throw beer bottles on my lawn and Coke bottles or anything, rocks. Because, you know, you little sweet, supposed to be sweet, so you're vicious dogs that would do the things that you've done to human beings in this world. And I can show you that righteous indignation dwells within my house, and I won't let you pelt us, all right? Okay, then what else?
Judges 1, verse 34, the Danites gave up persevering toward that God-given goal. Instead, they sent scouts in search of an easier area to conquer that offered significant advantages to the Danites. There is no indication that the tribe ever considered the reasons for their previous defeat or that they had sought to learn from it. They looked for an easier solution that led them even further away from God, who could have given them the victory.
Now, don't say anything about homosexuality. Don't say anything about a first-degree murder. Don't say anything about fornication or adultery or lying or stealing. As a matter of fact, let's make it a law that you can't lie. You know, like Clinton did on television, "I never had sex with a woman." And then all of a sudden he comes back because he was caught red-handed. "I did have sex with that woman, but it was inappropriate." Now Bush is saying there was no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And I guess I should have thought more before I went and killed all those people. Well, I will consider things more before I start bombing people. Now, he's saying that right on national television, international television right now. A bunch of stinking booze hounds is what it is. Devils, demon-possessed. He's saying he's a Christian. A bunch of reprobates. You couldn't preside over your own house. Your daughters are out there with booze hounds just like you, drinking beer and eating peanuts. Pretzels. Okay, what else?
Chapter 21, verses 8 through 12. The Israelites moved from one mess to another because of a...
Just like the weasels today. And they call themselves a Christian nation. And in God we trust. People, if it wasn't so miserable, it'd be a joke. Then what?
Because of a rash vow made in the heat of emotion, verse 5, here they destroyed another town. Israel probably justified their action with the following arguments. One, an oath could not be broken, and Israel had vowed that anyone who did not help to fight the Benjamites would be killed. And two, because all the women from Benjamin had been killed. The few remaining men needed wives to prevent the tribe from disappearing. to spare the unmarried women from Jabesh-Gilead seemed the right solution. We do not know all the circumstances behind the brutal massacre at Jabesh-Gilead, but it seems that the rest of Israel followed Benjamin's pattern. They put tribal loyalties above God's commands, and they justified wrong actions to correct past mistakes. Verse 25, during the time of the judges, the people of Israel experienced trouble because everyone became his own nationality, his own authority, his own nation, and acted on his own impulses, own opinions of what right and wrong was. This produced horrible consequences, horrible results. Our world is similar today. People, groups, or individuals, societies have made themselves the final authorities without reference to God. When people selfishly satisfy their personal desire at all costs, everyone pays the price.
They say, these women say, well, this is my body, and if I want to get an abortion, I will. Yeah, but the body that you're killing is not your own. It's another body. Amen?
Amen.
And if you are going to go out and dance, you've got to pay the fiddler. Okay? If you're going to go out there and have sex, you got to have the kid if you're going to have one. Amen?
Amen.
Or else you should be deemed a murderer, because you're not murdering your own body, you're murdering yourself. Somebody else, somebody that was that child inside of you, that's another body. All right? Okay, Job had a bunch of kids. Those were all his kids. They were not him. They were his children. And they were gluttons and wine bibbers, and the Lord destroyed them. It's the same thing with Aaron and his two children, and Eli and his two boys. Just because they come out of you doesn't mean they're you. And if you're destroying them, you're a murderer. All right? You're a murderer. First-degree murder, because you plan it. Planning a murder is first-degree murder. Just killing somebody by accident is not. That's manslaughter. Okay, then what else?
It is the ultimate heroic act to submit all of our plans, desires, and motives to God. Men like Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson are known for their heroism in battle, but some of their personal lives were far from heroic. To be truly heroic, we must go into battle each day in our home against the powers of darkness.
In our home, our business, out in the world, wherever we're at, we have to fight the devil. Okay? There's people that say stuff all the time. I heard a guy saying, you know, I want to kill everybody because they were killing me all my life and everything. And I said, the Bible says for us to overcome evil by doing that which is good. He says, what? It was like a young man there, big guy. He says, tell me about that. I never heard that before. And so I told him, and he mellowed out, and I gave him one of my tracts. And he said, man, I'm coming up to your church. Okay? And I said, read this prayer on the back here that we had to leave because I had to go somewhere. I forget where it was. But he got a witness to him. Otherwise, that guy would have went out and probably killed a bunch of people. Okay? But now he's not going to. We make a difference if we do what the Lord says. Okay, then what else?
We have to go to our jobs that way, into the churches that way, and society that way, to make God's kingdom a living reality on earth. Our weapons are the Word of God, the standards, morals, truth, and convictions that we receive from God's Word. We will lose the battle if we gather the spoils of earthly treasures rather than seeking the treasures of heaven.
All right, everybody, this is Pastor, your pastor, Tony Alamo, and this is the book of Judges, Chapter 21, that's the final chapter, and I have an overview of that chapter, the 25 verses, which you've just heard. And there's a lot of truth in this tape. You should save this tape and review it over and over again on a daily basis until it's so embedded into your spirit and into your mind that you'll never let it go. Meditate on the Word of God both day and night, and you'll be like a tree that's in this world of wickedness, of this angry waves in this world of evil and darkness. You'll be like a tree planted by the living water, which is the Spirit of God. Think about these things. Pray always, and pray for these people that are lost, like the Bushes and the Falwells, and all that say they're saved, and yet they do things that are not. They don't believe that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Pray for them. I don't want to see them destroyed. It's for sure God doesn't want to, and so let's pray for them. And remember that God has already provided salvation for them if they receive the whole word of God, Jesus, and that he's already provided healing for them, which is in the word of God. You were healed, and also victory and prosperity, if you will, and everything else, everything in the kingdom. Again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and until the book of Ruth, praise the Lord and God bless you.